And it's wonderful to be here this morning with you all. It really is. I'm going to share a little bit about myself because this is part of the message. And I was born to Christian parents and went to church since I was a little one. I was one of those little cute little kids, you know, at Christmas, you know, looking around and doing weird things during the, you know, Christmas presentation in front of the service, and all the parents are like, oh, they're so adorable. I was one of those adorable kids. I'm maybe not quite as adorable now, but, you know, I'm holding my own. But even though I went to church every week, it was just what you did. I did not have a walk with God. I didn't have a relationship with God. Now, I had prayed the sinner's prayer. I'd probably been to, is it me? Help me out, Seth. Thank you. I'll try not to touch anything. I don't try to be high maintenance. It just sometimes. Some of us need more assistance than others. I'm just saying. In my senior year of high school, I had a friend who lived down the street, and he invited me to go to campus life, I think is what they called it, down in San Diego, equivalent to the student venture here, up here. And I told him no, and I told him no because, well, there's got to be people there, right? And, you know, I was not really wanting to be around a bunch of people, and especially young people that are just kind of exuberant and all that type of stuff that young people are. Because it made me uncomfortable. I didn't like that setting. But one time I said, okay, I'll go. Sorry, I get emotional sometimes. And I can't tell you exactly what happened, but something flipped in me. A switch was switched. And I got around people who love Jesus. And people who wanted to walk with God and serve God and do everything they could to be pleasing to Him. And after that, instead of just going to church and that's what you did because that's what you did, it was, I have a personal walk with God now. And it was like night and day. It's so easy to get into this going to church and doing the right thing, but we're leaving out the most important thing, which is our relationship with God. And then I started getting involved in our high school youth group, which I found out we had a really good high school youth group that I never went to because, well, there's, you know, that getting around people stuff. And I remember telling someone outside Campus Corner, it was the name of the, we had a house that was converted into a youth meeting area, really nice. And I remember telling someone, well, I'm not a pastor, because that has to do with people, and I'm definitely not an evangelist, because those are really outgoing, bolsterous people. And apart from that, back then you had teachers, and those were people that just taught Sunday school, because even though your pastor would be a teacher, we didn't consider him a teacher, he was a pastor. You know, if you got up there and you were leading the church, that's, even though you're maybe all of what you're doing from the pulpit is teaching, we didn't consider those teachers. And then apostles and prophets, they, as far as I knew, they didn't exist. I didn't, you know, have no idea what those are. And so as far as ministry positions, as far as I understood it back then as a high school student, I didn't fit in any category. And I was okay with that. But I had this zeal for God. and this desire for God. And I carried a little Gideon's New Testament, similar to the ones they have out nowadays, except for mine was probably King James, I'm sure, because that's the translation. And I had a pocket on my shirt, and I carried that to school, and I read that more than I read my school books. And probably my teachers would vouch for that with my grades and all. But I was consumed with God's word and learning things and growing in God. And I got to a point where I would be going to church on Sunday morning, and then we had a Sunday night youth group meeting, and then there would be a couple Bible studies during the week that I would be going to, and I just couldn't get enough. And I was seeking after God and learning and growing, and later on, after I graduated from high school, I remember doing teaching little Bible studies. It would be like our young adult group. I would now and then teach a lesson. And I remember even in high school, I was just sharing Friday night. Wednesday night is when all the people showed up. And we also had a Friday night meeting where we would pray and listen to a tape. These tapes are, you can look it up online, you young people, find out what an audio tape is. It was awesome. Really special. Anyway, and sharing, I'd read the whole book of 1 John that day because I had plenty of time at school, you know, apart from my schoolwork to do that. And coming in and just, I'm going to share that verse later on today of from 1 John 3 about God has called us his children. Can you believe that? That is just so incredible. And God is, I mean, anyhow, let me get into my message. I get so caught up in my little testimony here. And each one of us have unique experiences with God. But I want to bring that out because this is a walking with God. This is not just going to church. This is having a relationship with the creator of the universe. I don't know if you can, I can't grasp that. It's beyond me. Many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus used parables to help illustrate to us. Okay. God just reminded me that I need to pray. So I'm going to do that. Father, I thank you that you are here with me, helping me give this message. And I thank you that you are with each one here who is listening to this message. And you are translating it into a language that they can understand and fine-tuning it and tailoring it to them so that it hits them and touches them where they're at, Lord. And I ask that each one would have ears to hear your message, Lord, as you give me the words to speak. Amen. And so he gives us these different, the parables. Jesus says these different parables, and it shows us little glimpses into what the kingdom of God is like. Little vignettes, little illustrations of this is what God's kingdom is like. And one of those, Matthew 22, is the parable of the wedding. It's verses 1 through 14. And the wedding banquet. And it shows us an aspect of God's kingdom. And I'm not going to take the time now, we don't have the time now, to go into this whole thing, this whole parable, and explain it all to you. But I want to look at a couple little aspects. One is how Jesus ends it. Many are called, or we could use the word invited there, but few are chosen. And when you look at it and other scriptures, you realize that the ones that are chosen are the ones that say yes to the invitation. So we determine whether we're chosen ones or not. God picks us. He gives us a personal invite. But we can say, yes, I want to do that, no, I don't. And if we do accept his invitation, then we become a part of his family. And we become a part of what he's doing. About a week and a half ago, I asked God, because I'm meditating on, studying, looking at all these scriptures about being called. Because the title of this one is Fulfilling Your Calling. I don't think I actually said that. I missed that. And I said, God, what are we called to? And I know enough to know that we can have these brilliant questions. What are we called to? The reason we have those brilliant questions is because we're hearing the Holy Spirit saying, ask this question. And so I was smart enough to ask the question, and God gave me an answer. And he said, well, you're called to follow Jesus. We're called to be his children. And we're called to do the works of God. Called to follow, called to be, called to do. And all of these are tied together. You can't separate out one and say, okay, I'm just going to do this. I'm just going to focus on this part, and we'll leave these other ones. Or I like these two, but that one I'm not sure about. No, it's all interconnected. You can't really separate them. So I want to talk about these three things. We're going to spend most of our time on the doing, but they're all critical and all important and all interconnected. Called to follow Jesus. Well, Jesus is the King. So when God invites us to follow him, we're not just hanging out with a friend, although he does call us friends. We're hanging out with the creator of the universe. It's a kind of a different level than we're at, which means if God says, where do you want to go eat? He doesn't matter where you want to, where to go eat. But when God says, we're going here, it's not up for debate. Do you understand? That's where we're going. And if we're going to follow, then that's where we're going. Matthew 4:18-22, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The disciples, the 12 here, these are four of the 12, they left their jobs, they left their father, their parents, and they put Jesus number one. We're called to do the same. Jesus is number one in our lives. And Jesus' followers, they weren't just following some charismatic individual. They were thinking, and if you read the scripture around that, this is the Messiah. This is the chosen one of God. This is the Son of God, the promised one. So they were thinking that this is the Messiah that we're following. And they were looking beyond just working their everyday jobs, living their everyday lives. They're like, this is way bigger than what we've ever encountered before. We're following after God and walking with God, and we're gonna be involved. Now, it took them a while to figure things out. It takes us a while to figure things out, and they kept getting in. When are you going to set up your earthly kingdom? Asking him that over and over and over again, and Jesus, like, it's not what's going on right now. And it's still not what's going on right now. But we're called to follow him. Now, we need to have an eternal perspective when we follow Jesus. Paul said that if there is no resurrection, we among all people are to be pitied. Why is that? Because we're spending our lives on nothing. But if there is a resurrection and there is eternity that we're going to be living in, we're not spending our lives following Christ on nothing. What we do today doesn't just affect today or tomorrow or next week or next year. It affects eternity. It affects your eternity, my eternity, and the people that we come into contact with. So there are people that you don't even know, and what you're doing today, this week, can be affecting their eternity. We don't see the big picture. God doesn't show us that very often. But it's true. And I have tried to consciously live my life thinking about what is the eternal perspective? What is the big picture on this? And I will make investments in people. And I'm making investments in my retirement fund, my eternal retirement fund. And I'm like, I'm not very good with bookkeeping and that kind of stuff, but I figure God's really good, and He keeps track of all this stuff. And so I will go give somebody a call or text them or go visit with them or get together for lunch or whatever, because I'm making an eternal investment. I'm making an investment in their lives because God has directed me to make an investment in their lives. But I also know that's affecting me. I need to move on. Called to be His children. 1 John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. You might not feel like, if you've given your heart to Christ, you might not feel like I'm a Christian. You might not feel like you're that great and I haven't arrived and I need to do this or that to really feel like you're a Christian or a child of God, but God says, no, you are. Think about a baby when you bring them home from the hospital, her home from the hospital, and we have a little grandson that my wife has seen more often than me. Surprise, surprise. But I have seen and held. And I was about 2 months old when I saw him. And they don't do a whole lot. They kind of sleep a lot. And, you know, you got to change diapers because of bodily functions that are going on. And they eat a lot. And then when they're not feeling comfortable, they just start complaining. And they probably don't even know why they're complaining. They're just like, I'm not comfortable. Fix that. You know, and they can't articulate, well, I'm hungry. Or whatever the problem may be. They just start screaming out. Young believers are not too dissimilar to that, by the way. But God calls us His children. And we are born spiritually in His family. We are adopted by God. Now, the Old Testament says that God will not share His glory with another. But now, if we read John 17, God does share His glory with us. It's like, oh, I thought He's not sharing His glory, but yet He's sharing His glory. There seems to be a contradiction, and there actually isn't at all, because God doesn't view us, His children, is separate from Him. We are one with Him. And it's again, kind of mind-blowing how the Creator of the universe can say, no, you are one with Me. And Jesus in 15 says, abide with Me, or just continue walking with Me. Don't go off doing your own thing. Just continue walking with Me. And you'll be walking in this presence of God, in this joy of God, and find fulfillment in your life. Part 3, called to do the works of God. As we follow Jesus, He will lead us. The Holy Spirit's been placed within us, and he will direct us. We'll just kind of get a, you know, I think I should go this way. I don't know why I should go this way, but I think I should go this way. I don't think I want to go that way. That's just something not quite right about that. Bob was sharing about the movie that is just came out last year of the... Harriet Tubman, regarding Harriet Tubman. Thank you, my wife. By the way, if you appreciate this stuff up here or the little handout, there's about three people, apart from me, that was involved in you being able to appreciate this stuff. So be grateful for these people that are doing their little part in the kingdom, or not so little part. I do. I appreciate them because I'm not great in things like that. We'll just leave it there. Ephesians 2, 8, and 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, being saved, being brought into his kingdom. Not by work, so that no one can boast. So I can't say, I am such a great person that of course God would want me in his family. No, it doesn't work that way at all. For we are, and I put this together because a lot of these times we can read these separately, we can get it confused. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So I am created to do good works, but my good works have nothing to do with my salvation. My good works, or sometimes the lack of good works, or sometimes running off and doing my own thing, and it's like, God, where'd you go? You're around here somewhere. Oh, there you are. That doesn't have anything to do with my being one of his children. Those of you who've had young children know that sometimes they do go running off. They see something, it's like, oh, look at that. And then you're panicky because... where'd they go? Excuse me. So, our works that we do, and it actually is God doing them with us and through us, has nothing to do with our being saved, our salvation, but it flows out of our relationship with God. It flows out of our walk with God and our being a child of God. And when we remain in Christ, we will bear fruit. And Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, so I can do all kinds of things apart from God, just to let you know. But what does it add up to? Nothing. All the things that we do apart from God add up to nothing. And we can think, oh yeah, I'm doing these great things and all. But it's In the sight of God, it's zippo. Went to a Bible school up in Torrance some years ago. And an associate pastor told this story about this vision that a pastor, older pastor friend of his had. Or maybe it was a dream. We'll say dream. I don't remember. And in this dream, this guy was pastoring a large church in this community, and there's these three pastors who were all pastoring large churches, and they had three piles, large piles of good works, however you want to put that. I don't know. Is that good enough? And they're all standing before Jesus. And for the first pastor, Jesus walked over, and he touched the top of the pile of treasures, and it disappeared, just poof, gone. And then he walked over to the second pastor's pile of treasure, and he touched it, and poof, gone. And then Jesus was about to walk over and touch this pastor who has received the dream. touch his pile of treasures. And he woke up and just said, God, I'm sorry. I was doing my thing, not your thing. And I know it amounts to nothing. And forgive me for that. And he changed how he was doing church. And he lost half of his congregation. Now, I think it probably grew after that, but initially he lost half of his congregation. But he was doing what God wanted him to do, not this godly-looking stuff that it was his thing. Even with Jesus, Jesus said it was the Father working through him. The words that I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. This is the Son of God. But what a lot of people forget is that he left his heavenly glory in heaven. And he came down to live his life as a man. To live his life as you and I do. But he did have the Holy Spirit in his life also. Remember when he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him and equipped him for service. So God places his Spirit in us to bring us new life. And we are born again. When we pray to receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit enters us. We're born again. Jesus didn't have to be born again because he was never spiritually dead. But then God takes his Spirit and puts it on us like a mantle, like a cloak, and empowers us to do his works. God gives us the ability to do things that are impossible for us to do apart from him. In the Old Testament, we have Samson. He had this supernatural strength because he was empowered by God to do that. Why did God give Samson the supernatural strength? So he'd be attractive to women, could pick up all these chicks? Well, that's one of the things that Samson did with it. But that's not what God's intent was. God's intent was that he would deliver the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, from the Philistines, and that's what he did. But he kind of got sidetracked along the way, and sometimes ministers can get sidetracked along the way because they're riding off the power of God, that God wants them doing his thing, and we just kind of, sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, I'm going to take a little credit for that. Anyway, that's a side subject. It's not really what I was talking about. It just came up. Sorry. In the New Testament, we have Stephen, one of the deacons, one of the table waiters, as they've been called. And he did great signs, great wonders, and miraculous signs. I'm reading it so I get it right. Great wonders, yes, and miraculous signs. The Holy Spirit working through him, a deacon. How many deacons in here that we are doing signs and wonders? Yes, you yet? he's looking around. I love that. Thank you. It reminds me of me. Reminds me of one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament, Gideon, in the book of Judges. If you want to see about the Holy Spirit coming upon people, read the book of Judges. And just note when it says the Holy Spirit came upon this person or that person or the other person, it's repeated over and over and over again. And then see what they did afterwards. So what might this look like in your life? Romans 12. 10 minutes. Okay, we can do this. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So here's all these different parts These different things that God's people are gifted with. And this is not, this is just one passage. We could go to 1 Corinthians 12. We could go to Ephesians 4 and look at other things, other giftings, other activities in the body of Christ. But the point of this is each one of us is given different giftings that correspond with our calling or what God wants us to do. So, but I want to, before I get into that, I want to back up and look at Romans 12, 1. Now, normally we would read this 1 through verse 8, but I wanted to do it in a different order because I want to pull something out of this that we can overlook very easily. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies or yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So we tend to think that the person up here behind the pulpit, oh, he's doing something spiritual. The worship team up here, oh, they're doing something spiritual. But the people in the back doing the sound and the overhead, well, that's not very spiritual. And the people that are providing the pastries and fruit, the hospitality people, though, that's not very spiritual. And the people that are greeting you at the door, well, you know, it might be a little spiritual stuff in there if they say something really, you know, really from God. But probably most of the time they don't, and so it's not very spiritual. And that's just limited to this building. And if you're limiting your Christian walk to this building, you're missing out on, what, 90%, 95% of what your Christian walk's all about. So I want to say that all of us, as we walk through life and we follow God, he will lead us into different things and interact with different people. And these are people that God loves, and he wants you to manifest his love through you to them so that they get to know God and they see something in you. It's like, you know, that person's got something. I'm not sure what it is. And they're attracted to that. They might be attracted to you, but most likely they're attracted to the God in you. Each of us are gifted by God in different areas, and these gifts will correspond to what God's called us to do or correspond to our calling. Each of us as each of us do our part, we become a functional family. God's kingdom grows and God is glorified. Now, we could take this as a car. Instead of a physical body, oh, we could do a physical body. Oh, that's biblical. Let's do the physical body. I'm not making all this up on the fly, just a little bit. What body part do you want to start have not working in your physical body? Anyone want any body parts to stop working? I don't. I kind of like all of them functioning. And if I have a problem with one of my parts not function well, I go see a doctor and, hey, can we fix this? Is there something we can do so my whole body is working the way it's supposed to? And if it's not working right, then my body doesn't function. I can't do what I want to do. And the same way with the body of Christ, if some of the body parts aren't functional, if we're not doing what God's called us to do, if we're not following him and being obedient to him day by day, moment by moment, and I can't tell you that I'm successful in this all the time because I'm not. We're all earthen vessels. We're flawed. We have corruption within us. But God still says, I love you. And I just... Now God has a handicap because he is love. He can't help but love us. But as we enter into that, we receive so much more than us striving after things on our own. we have a depth in our life, a peace, all the fruit of the Spirit, that you can't achieve those things, you can't acquire those things, you receive those things from God, and they're received from just walking with God. And as He directs you and leads you, you just have this, yes, this is right, this is good. Now, all these different jobs pay the same. Me teaching up here doesn't get paid any more than somebody cutting up oranges. If I'm doing what God's called me to do, then I will be judged on how faithful I am to doing what He's called me to do. And it doesn't matter what it is that He's called me to do. And God's the one who determines what your part is. And for you, that's the most important thing in the world, although I get annoyed. I love evangelists. We need more evangelists. But I can get annoyed with evangelists when if you're not out there knocking on doors and preaching from the street corner, how can you even call yourself a Christian? It's because God hasn't called me to knock on doors and preach from street corners. When I was younger in my life, I would hear someone say that, and I would come home so depressed because I wasn't doing that, and that's just not in me to do that. But in spite of that, we still need evangelists and people that are like that, but we also need all kinds. When King David, I actually have a biblical, thing here that shows this. When King David and his men attacked the Amalekites and recovered their wives and children and stolen possessions, they were out doing stuff for the Philistines. The Philistine general said, we don't really trust these guys. Let's send them home. And they came back to their hometown, and it was burned down, and all their stuff was gone, and their families were gone. And there were 600 of them, and says even though 200 of them had stayed behind with the supplies and didn't actually fight the enemy, David said, and his men were like, okay, we were out there fighting, and this was an intense battle. They were started at dusk and then went through to the dusk of the next day. That's not easy. And the other people, they were exhausted and stayed behind and watched over the supplies. And David said, everyone gets an equal share. It's the right thing to do. And it initiated something in Israel that they continued doing it that way. And so whatever it is you're doing that God's called you to do, it pays the same as when Bob is up here giving a message. I want you to know that. Your part's important. You are important. And we need you doing what God's called you to do. And it might not have any personal interaction with me, probably doesn't, and that's okay. But it's still going to benefit me because it benefits the whole body of Christ. And as we do these things, a simple or not so simple works of God, we reflect His glory. And we bring glory to God. And the body of Christ is built up. And it's... Sometimes we think these simple little things really don't matter. But Jesus said that He could give someone else a cup of water, He will get His reward. You give a cup of water to a righteous man in the name of a righteous man, you'll get your reward. Well, how simple is that? Here, have a cup of water. That's pretty simple. Jesus said you're going to get rewarded for that. So if you can think of something smaller than that, that you're not going to get rewarded for, I would say it's not small enough. You're going to get rewarded for it. And if you think what you're doing is bigger than that, and I'm too important and I'm too big to pick up trash, and we have people in this congregation who do that and pick up the little things, makes it nice for the rest of us, makes it nice for the next congregation that comes in at one, so that they're like, wow, this place is dumpy. We don't, do we like that? No, we like a neat, clean room. Well, the people that sacrifice and they just do it and we don't even pay attention to them. The people that are setting up the Passover every first of the month, these simple little things that maybe some of you need to be doing some of these things. I don't know. But be open to God leading you into different directions and doing different things. And you'll be rewarded for it. Maybe not in this lifetime, but you will be rewarded. So what counts is not what you've done, but how faithful you are to do what God has called us to do. So God calls everyone to relationship with Him, to journey with Him, to follow Him, to be His children, to do His will. And we can flip up the photograph now. And I love this photograph. This is my youngest daughter, Heather. She's my backpacking buddy. And this was on the Pacific Crest Trail, Mount Laguna. And we had stopped here at this spot because these trees, it's like right on the ridge there. And these trees were all white. And it's like, what's up with these trees? This is weird. Well, they were covered with ice. It's the high today, on this particular day, and this was late morning, was maybe 40 degrees. I mean, it was cold. And it was, you could see we're kind of bundled up. We were wearing like everything we had in our packs on. It was windy. At times we were walking, I remember going around this bend and the gusts of wind hit you and you're just staggering kind of way down the trail because of the winds blowing you around. That's how windy it was. And I like this photograph, not just because I have a beautiful daughter and it reminds me of an enjoyable trip, but see the trail? That's the journey ahead of us. So we're all on a journey and we're walking with God. And we have this trail ahead of us, this path ahead of us that we're all on. And it's necessary to have a good companion to be on the trail or with, to be on the journey with. Multiple companions, preferably. I have several people that I will try to get together with. And I can't live my Christian life without these people in my life, not be successful. I think that's why back when I was in high school, I got turned on to God, is because I was around other people who were turned on to God. And it's like, okay, I get it now. I didn't get it before. I was just, you know, I'm going to go home and I don't want to talk with these people because they're weird. Well, I was probably more weird than they were, but that's besides the point. But we're on this journey together. Now, what you don't know from this photograph is that the person who took the photograph was this lady that Heather and I met a few days beforehand. And we developed a relationship with. We were talking and sharing things. And later on, a couple hours down the trail, I'm walking along. And I'm getting this, God starts speaking to me, and He said, seal the deal. Now, 2 months prior to this was Easter Sunday, and God put a spirit of intercession on me, if you will, and if you don't understand what I'm talking about, talk to me later, where I just needed to pray. And I was praying in tongues very quietly so I didn't disrupt things. And it's in the middle of this praying in tongues, intense praying in tongues, was seal the deal. Seal the deal. Seal the deal. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going with the flow. But then afterwards, I was like, that was weird. I've never experienced anything like that before. And what's going on here? And I talked with some people and said, so what do you think is happening here? What do you think what this was all about? And I thought, because it's Easter Sunday, we have people that are not here normally. They're just going to visit. They're not necessarily believers, that I'm praying for these people. And I think probably that's true. But then on this trail, I get sealed. Did I run out of battery? No. I get sealed the deal, and I knew exactly what that meant. It means I need to share the gospel with weeds. That was the trail name. And we got to where my wife was going to pick us up, and I told that to Heather, and she said, well, you have been sharing the gospel. We have, you know, we've been doing that already. And I said, no, I need to seal the deal. And so God has set this whole thing up and allowed me to be a part of it. And so Weeds comes in, has to refill with water before she was moving on, and we were going to get picked up at that spot. It's a picnic area up there. And so I just said to her, how would you like to exchange the spirit of fear for the spirit of peace? And she thought that was a great idea and ended up praying to receive Jesus. And I got to be a part of it because I was paying attention and being obedient to God. It wasn't because I was something great, because I'm not an evangelist, as you know, I told you. But that doesn't mean God can't use me to bring people into his kingdom, because he loved Weeds. And he wanted Weeds to be a part of his family. So as we go forward, we need to ask the question, what's holding us back from walking with God, for giving him our all? Worship team, you need to be up here. Thank you. I should have said that earlier, I know. So I want you to be thinking about that and allow God bring stuff up to you. What's holding me back from fully giving myself to God? Now, maybe you are fully giving yourself to God. I'm not doubting that. I'm not trying to say that you're not. But I know at times I'm not fully giving myself to God, even though I try. I'm not. So I want you to allow that question to ruminate, if you will, in your soul.